Bobby Caldwell, Notes from the Pen.
Hello. Me and you always do this pre-call to make sure you have the bat phone ready, which is, I don't know if the viewers know that, I basically have my own phone, which is, I think I'm the only person to call it, right?
Yep.
Pretty much. And so, like the minch he is, Douglas walks around with this alternate phone for me to call.
My secret.
We always do like a little early one, and a lot of times me and you will talk to each other, and we'll be like, I'm not feeling it. And then other times we're like, yeah, let's do something. And I was feeling really good, made the mistake of meditating before, and then came out here way too zen.
Serene.
to be recording anything. So I'm going to stomp on my big toe a couple times here and feeling better, though. So,
we started talking Chappelle last time we talked, and I said, let's save that for the podcast.
Yes, this is fascinating. I'd touched on it before when it first happened when I was recording something, but when I brought it up to you kind of just to shoot the shit with you, you mentioned that you'd been contacted by some media outlets for comment, right?
I think it's like a right-wing thing, and I want no fucking part of any kind of, yeah, if I have any commentary of any interest, I save it for the stage. I'm not going to waste it in a tweet. I'm not going to get into fucking wars on social media. They're pointless. Yeah, if you want my opinion, pay the ticket price, and take your seat and shut the fuck up.
I'm really good friends with you.
I'm not going to feed the fucking beast. Because Dave Chappelle is fucking news. It's entertainment.
All right, I don't know how much, because I kind of wanted to ask you about this, because I don't know how much this ties in, but I think it does if you just peel under the surface a little bit. Did you see the shit going on with Facebook with the whistleblower that happened recently?
Not necessarily.
All right, well, this chick who worked there, I'm sure that's politically correct, this lady who worked there, who was part of, like, the research section of it, came out with all these, she quit and came out with all these documents saying, like, Facebook knows that their algorithms are promoting, like, really contentious shit, like anti-vax, and because they realize, these contentious things keep people on the site more, and so they promote them more, they push them
out
to people
more. Yeah, they just start fights, and then people sit around, rather than living their fucking lives and going out and doing stuff, they sit on Facebook and fight over things, because, and that's why I don't comment. I watched his special. I enjoyed it. I didn't find it where it could be offensive to, but maybe a handful of people. If there was no fucking news coverage, I'm sure these stories are pre-written.
Right.
And they go, okay, what's our take on this? It's going to fucking stir people up and make people fucking angry and take sides. Where if it was just a comedy special and people watched it, they'd like it or they wouldn't like it. But if they make it into a news story and find an angle and find one person on Twitter that said something negative, they can spin that into people are up in arms. No, a few crackpots might be up in arms.
Yeah.
The general public is not up in arms until, they're up in arms about the story you wrote. Not about the special itself.
Right. So I was watching. By the time this stuff hits me, it's big news. I can't get lost on little Reddit threads and find little inside things. So I really don't have anything to go off of, right? If I didn't think so critically about these assholes and whatever their agenda is, I'd be super susceptible just to what is put out there. And we've kind of done episodes about it. Like, how much is really someone outraged at Bruno Mars for doing black music, and how much is there's one asshole and they find that person? To make a big deal out of it. I was watching CNN, and they Breonna Keeler brought a transgender comedian, a black woman, on and expected for her to be up in arms and outraged, and it blew up in her face because the comedian was like, "Oh no, he's a fucking comedian. He should be able to say whatever he wants about people." Got to start paying it, and it was just awesome to see that the one that you could tell they only had this person on because they were like, oh, she's going to be mad. She is going to be outraged, and she wasn't. She was like, what are you – no, it's fine. Who gives a shit? It was funny. Who cares? And then, you know, at some point this is more about people looking to be outraged, right?
Right.
Or it's a self-deprecating cycle.
The New York Times was jacking me up a few months ago. I told you that. Wanted me to comment on a piece they were doing about Joe Rogan. And I go, I know where you're going to spin this. They actually didn't spin it very negatively, but it's, you know, I wasn't going to be part of that and risk being misquoted, which you almost always are misquoted or taken out of context. So, yeah, I'll save my opinions for the stage if they're worth fucking saying.
How much, which I think I know the answer to this, but how much consideration goes into, like, the current political climate and what social climate when you're deciding on what to do on stage or not?
No, it's just, what do I have to say that's funny? That's
yeah.
Pretty much, especially now that everybody has fucking rampant uninformed opinions about everything. I'm taking the path of radical apathy.
Yeah, that's
and I'm getting really
yeah, I can dig
great
it.
Material out of it.
Yeah, I really that's a beautiful thing. I think I haven't see this is one of the problems. I used to watch your stand up and I, you know, amongst a bunch of other comedians, and I can no longer keep up with it. But you, I don't know, without me kissing your ass, but you, I remember the ones I watched of yours, you would find a sweet spot with being able to shit on stuff where it's almost like your position or your stance or the angle you're hitting it from doesn't really allow for you to be made into something. You know what I mean? Kind of how they're doing with Rogan, how they're like, you know, whatever side can make him kind of look however is beneficial to them.
Well, yeah, it's only because he's that big. Nobody gives
yeah,
a fuck what I say.
Yeah.
They'd have to spend too long explaining to people who I am.
No, I had to do it in here. I give them your book instead. And then all of a sudden they want to share honey buns with me and stuff.
I wish I had some kind of like 4 p.m. show scheduled where I could just have you call in and set you on the stage on speakerphone so you could hear some of the shit.
Oh yeah, that would be great. Comic fans, stand up fans, do not come to prison if you want to keep up on stand up unless you're willing to befriend your favorite comedians. And then good luck with that.
Surprised I don't work out more material on you since you're sitting there bored and you haven't heard any of it.
I wish you would, right? But I'm not gonna be that guy that's like, hey, Ringo, play me a song on the old drums real quick. And when people write, you know, I write a lot. I've really been cranking some stuff out lately. But when people hit me up on JPay and they're like, hey, do you think you could, it's only happened a couple of times, if you could write something for me, and I'm like, I'm not writing for you and I'm not drawing for you. So, yeah, let's start hashing out your material. I'll heckle you. I can do all that stuff. That's been my goal.
I'm a bitch I can run by you. That I'm happy with, because you know now that I've been fucking writing new shit all the time, it's like I'm not bored with it. So,
yeah, I get excited. Me and you kind of talk about that. I kind of live vicariously through you about the working out of material, fitting those puzzle pieces together. I won't ever shut up about that. I always get all excited. Those are my favorite little moments of creation right there.
That's what I've been doing all day at a fucking empty bar downstairs with all my notes spread out across the bar that's closed, and putting it together like a crossword puzzle.
You get like me, after you lock one in, you get a little peppy and you're like, the sun's a little brighter out for a little while.
Yeah, even if it's just one little chunk, it makes the entire set, you know, exciting to do, just waiting to get to that part. And It takes very little to reanimate a set.
And there's a freewheeling part about it where you're like putting shit together, right? And you're like, this could either be nothing, or you turn the thing one little click the other way and you're like, yes. So like a lot of the times, like when I'm writing a piece, I'm going through it and I'm like, this could be shit, but I'm going to keep going at it. And I'm sure eventually I've done it long enough to where I figure the thing out. And then I'm like, okay, now it's, now we got something here. And then
I just went through from the beginning of this notebook that I started in August, you know, when I started touring again. And I'm looking at this, that now I realize there's shit, but I see the evolution. Okay. That idea was clunky, but this part came out of it that stayed and is strong, and it led to that, which is getting stronger. And now I'm going to shore this up, and now I'm going to shave other parts down. And, yeah, it's fucking molding.
I used to think that, and this is one of my favorite things about you. I used to think when you're young, and whether it's like you're playing in a band or whatever it is, it's like, yeah, I want to be – From I think a lot of people, I want to be successful at this so I can have money and drugs and women and all this stuff. But the older I get and the more like I really hone in and like try to focus on my craft, the more I realize like, no, this is cliche, but it's true, where I go, oh no, like the actual act of doing it is like trumps everything. And I think if you focus on that shit, then the rest, if you're decent, will fall into place. You know what I mean? Come secondary. I think you kind of have that approach as well.
Yeah. Yes.
There's no
being on road is fun again, except when you're in Philly. What a fucking shithole this is.
There's I was just watching.
The crowds are great, but why? Like to smoke a cigarette out in front of the hotel cost me 3 cigarettes and fucking homeless people going, "Oh, you gonna smoke? Gotta smoke." Like, I can't smoke mine fast enough to get from them asking for one.
They got a this dude, Ben Simmons, that plays for their basketball team, who's like, I'm not fucking playing for Phil anymore. He was, like, holding out. And now they fucked with his contract. He's not going to get his money, so now he has to. And they did a whole segment of everyone that was sitting there on ESPN like, yeah, he's not going to be able to deal with the fans. Like, they're going to turn on him. And they're like, you could do that at a bunch of other cities, not Philadelphia. They're basically, everyone's like, they're assholes. This is gonna be a shit show. He might as well just leave. So, I told you, I don't like their accents. You don't think they have them?
Yeah, well, I've not noticed, but again, I don't talk to a lot of people. I'm either sitting here in my room watching a South Park marathon in this fucking tiny room it's like if IKEA redid your prison cell. And I'll put a nice comforter in there, but there's still like, there's no chair in my room. Fucking nothing. There's no microwave. There's no fridge. There's no coffee maker. So, yeah, just to kind of keep that, to go down to the lobby. It does have a good bathroom. Yeah.
I once packed a bunch of shit up and went out to San Francisco with my tattoo equipment and enough drug money to like float me. And I went to Chinatown, the seediest place right above, right out of a movie, right above a Chinese restaurant. And I thought I'd get a discount. They did not like me. But it's like one of these old hotels that I don't think was designed as a hotel. So the rooms are different. There's like a community shower. And I picked the cheapest one, which was clearly a closet. And it's smaller than my, it's about the size.
You have 1 minute remaining.
Smaller than my cell is now. And, I think back fondly about those times. We're a minute out. I got to plug this good time thing. We've talked about it a little bit, but everyone go to mijustice.org/newletter. Fill something out.
Wait, before we run out of time, put the link on your homepage of your website, notesfromthepen.com. Put that up as soon as possible, and people can just go to Notes from the Pen and click a link, and you can explain it on their website.
Yeah, go visit it. Do your duty for listening. Go support Doug. Don't boycott Dave Chappelle. And yeah, we love you.
That link can help Bobby get out of prison. It's important.
Yeah, I'd get out 2 years ago, which I don't know how that would work. I feel like they're going to owe me 2 years, and we'll hash out the details of all of that, but
thank you for using GTL.